open, and so we're going to be reclaiming a community through communion. We're bringing that back and so forth. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But before we pray and before we get into the Word tonight, I want to thank Billy Morris because he fixed the most mouth-watering, tender brisket for us tonight that I think I have ever tasted. And so, a matter of fact, I did taste it already. And so I've had my share. I'm very full. So anyway, that's going to be happening tonight in the cafe. And of course, it's all free tonight, as you well know. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you as we look inwardly to our hearts and examine ourselves, O Lord, on this night. This night when we come so near to your presence, we draw nigh unto you and you draw so nigh and close to us. And as we approach the throne of grace, there the mercy seat where the blood of our Savior is poured out, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you tonight. And if we have sinned, not that we want to sin, but if we have, if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, action, grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, if we've hurt other people, Lord, if we've done things that are not right, the sins of omission and the sins of commission, Lord, the sins like pride and all those terrible things, we run to the throne of grace as we meet you tonight, as we celebrate your table, and we give thanks for the precious blood of Jesus, which has already cleansed us and will continue to cleanse us of all sin as we confess it to you. Now, Lord, we bless your holy name tonight as we've gathered in your and as one family. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Matter of fact, let's pray one more time. Father, also I thank you in the name of Jesus tonight for Louise. Lord, yesterday they were calling for hospice, but this morning she was released from the hospital and she's gone home. And Lord, we thank you also tonight for James, our dear brother. And Lord, that he's here, and we thank you that you will bring sound, perfect healing to his body, to his mind, to his person, and bless him tonight, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say, amen. Let's turn tonight in our Bibles. Yeah, you can thank the Lord again. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to be in the Gospel of John for this communion service tonight, John chapter 17. Of course, I know that you know it very well. I'll be there in just a moment. But, you know, the Lord's Supper that we're about to partake of, you know, it's not a weekly or every Sunday or a monthly ritual or something. You can observe the Lord's Supper every day. Amen? That's right. As often the Lord says, as you desire. And that's what we're doing tonight. But we have come tonight. Our hearts are prepared for not only to worship the Lord, but to have that deep fellowship with our Savior as well. And the reason is that we're all the family of God. Amen. We're partakers of his divine nature. We're members of one another, whether you like it or not. Amen. That's exactly right. We're the body of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break that we're going to tonight, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So that communion, that partaking of communion, that word is koinonia, like the Koinonia Cafe. It speaks of fellowship. It speaks of intimacy. It speaks of sharing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:17, for though we are many, but we are one bread, one body, for we all partake of, or literally we all share in that one bread. You know, tonight as we look to the Lord, you know that he is here, amen? He's not on the cross, he's not in the tomb, he is here in our midst tonight. He is present with us. We look at the high priestly prayer of our Lord in John chapter 17. I love this prayer of the Lord because it is literally, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but John 17 records for us the longest recorded prayer of our Savior in the Word of God. And there he prays. And let's just look at a few verses here. It says in John 17, verse 1, it says, Jesus spake these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and that your Son may also glorify you. And you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. This is everlasting life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus opens up this incredible prayer on our communion night as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He prays for himself. And then beginning in verses 06 there, all the way through 19, he is going to pray for his disciples. But when we get to verse 20 and through 26, guess what? Jesus now prays for all future believers. Jesus prayed for you. Listen carefully. Jesus prayed for you before you were ever born. Jesus prayed for each of us tonight 2,000 years ago. Amen? So now that he knows he's going back to heaven, he's going to depart to the Father. Matter of fact, 3 p.m. when that text was written, by 3 p.m. the next day, Jesus will die upon the cross for our sins. Now look at verse 20, and let's talk about as Jesus prays for all future believers. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And then it says in verse 21, that they all, meaning everyone who believes in Jesus in their heart, confessed with their mouth, that they all may be what? Divided? No, that they all may be one. It says, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one. Look at this now. One in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Let me read another translation of verse 21. It says, my prayer, Jesus says, my prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one, Father. Think about that. Now listen to me. In the very last hours of Jesus' earthly ministry, he did not pray for miracles to happen. There's nothing wrong with miracles. He didn't pray for strength. He didn't pray for wisdom. But you know what he prayed for 2,000 years ago for all of us? He prayed for unity. Amen? He said that we would be one, unity in the body. In other words, Jesus says he prayed and he desired that the same intimacy, the fellowship, the same intimacy, the same oneness that existed between he and the Father would now become ours in our hearts. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord. Today, people say, Bill, that's unattainable, that's impossible, and so forth. Well, if it's not possible, Jesus wouldn't have prayed it. Those are not some dream words. Those are the actual words of our Savior. He says, I pray that all believers, every one of them, that this oneness that they have is so real, is as real as being one person. Just like the Father and I are one, is what Jesus said. You know, that's pretty deep, isn't it? We look at that and we say, well, Bill, that's not happening. Well, you know, how does that happen? Well, the Bible tells us, what was the new commandment that Jesus gave unto the church and to us as well in John 13, 34 through 35? He says, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And here's the new part, as I always say, as I have loved you. I want you to love one another to the same degree that I've loved you. And then he says, by this all the world will know that you're my disciples. You know, that's part of our vision statement at Calvary Chapel, isn't it? That we would love one another. That's that unity that we have. Now listen, tonight we are reclaiming community through communion, But we're also doing something else. We're also proclaiming the unity that we have, amen, as the body of Christ. And since Jesus prayed this prayer, it gives us a very clear understanding of why. Would you say that every generation is faced with the fact that the church has a problem with unity or with oneness, with loving one another the right way? You know, we look at the world today or the church today in the 21st century, or we could look at it in any century. And it's so divided. One, you have this group that we believe you have to be, baptized three times backwards, forwards, and hold you under for 3 minutes. And then you've got the other ones, we're just going to sprinkle you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not being critical. I'm just saying I want to be in unity. And the only way to do that is believe in your heart exactly what the Lord has told us. You know, Jesus, when he prayed here for us loved ones, he didn't pray for the future generations so they would have denominations and creeds. I'm not beating up any denominations. But the fact of the matter is, all true Christians, you can call yourself a Methodist, or maybe you're a Pentecostal, or Assembly of God, Baptist, Calvary Chapel, whatever, only believers, true believers out of all over the world, no matter what they may call themselves, only those who are truly born again are in the body of Christ. Those, you know, up in heaven, God doesn't say, oh, that's a Baptist down there, I can tell. Oh, there's one of those Calvary chapels. Oh, look at them sandals and, you know, the backpacks and, you know, earrings and spiked hair and skinny tight jeans. And no, he doesn't do that. He doesn't identify us that way. He identifies us whether we're a son or a daughter. Amen? Now, listen, we look at that and we just say, oh, Lord, every believer is saved the same way. They're washed in the same blood. They're filled with the same spirit, and they're saved by the same grace. And Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, is he divided? No, a house divided cannot stand. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, I plead with you, Paul says, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Man, listen, have you ever just prayed and said, Lord, I come to you and I just proclaim the unity that we have. The unity that we have. See, you don't make spiritual unity happen. It's already a given, amen? Because we're in the body of Christ. Spiritual unity cannot be created by the church, but it can be manifested by the church. Look at verse 22. It says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, Jesus says, that they may be, here it is again, one, just as we are one. And do you know what that glory that God has given us? It's so we can manifest his oneness, manifest the unity of the body of Christ to a world that has fallen apart. That's exactly what God wants us to do. See, the glory of unity is found in our oneness. It says in Colossians 1:27, it says, to them willed to make known what are the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen carefully about our oneness, about our unity that we have. As I said earlier, here we are tonight, celebrating communion, because we want that community. We want that intimacy with one another and with our Lord. But see, the glory that God has given us can only manifest itself in unity and in glory, never, or in oneness, never in division. Amen? Never. Did you know that disunity, and listen, if you don't hear anything else tonight, listen to this. Did you know that disunity, division or disunity, however you want to call it, literally despises Christ's glory. Despises the glory of Christ. And you know what they do? They prefer man's pettiness to the beautiful glory of oneness and unity that God has given to us. You know, those who sow discord, those who sow division, no matter who they are, no matter if they have titles or they don't have titles, no matter what denomination, no matter what they do, who they are, when they do those things, they despise Christ's glory in the body of Christ. You know, let us never, ever be like the world, because the world is not in unity. Amen. The world lives in chaos. The world lives in confusion. The world is not united, nor can it ever be united, because it's not in Christ. The only people on earth that have spiritual unity is the body of Christ. No one else. We're the only one. We live in a world that is totally broken. Now look at verse 23. Jesus is praying. He says, "And I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as I have loved, as you have loved me." Do you know tonight that when God sees us, that are we perfect in his sight as a position? Absolutely. And he also sees us in unity, because God knows the unity of all believers all over the earth. However, this position, you know, to every true believer can be experienced, that oneness and so forth. You know, the world, we don't want to be taken out of the world. One day we will be. But while we're here, would you say that the world is our business place? That we're here to save people, the lost. We're here to manifest the oneness that God has given unto us and so forth. Those in the world, they need to hear or witness our oneness. Not only that, they need to witness our devotion one to another. Have you ever gone through the Bible and just looked up the one another's in the Word of God? Well, that is a great study to do. You know, the greatest decision that a person can make is to ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart. Amen? But after that, the greatest decision that a believer can make, the greatest decision once you're a believer, is to literally become his disciple. Do you follow me? To literally become his disciple. Whatever he wants for you in this world, Lord, here I am. I lay down my life. Here I am as a living sacrifice. And as you loved other people, Lord, I want to love other people the same way. You know, the one another's that I just mentioned, you know, Romans 12:5, it says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another." Romans 12:10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." Romans 12:16, "Be of the same mind toward one another." In Romans 13:8, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves has fulfilled the law." Love fulfills the law, amen? And then one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 15:7, that says this, "Therefore receive," or welcome, "one another, just as Christ also received us." If the church, if every Christian would just obey Romans 15:7, would you say it would change the world? Literally, if we would receive one another the way Jesus has received us, if we would love one another the way Jesus told us to love one another, everything would change. The Bible tells us if we don't do that, it tells us in Galatians 5:15, it says, "But if you bite and if you devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." I want no part of that in Jesus' name. Do you? No. Now look at verse 24. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my" what? "My glory." When we get home, we're going to look upon the Lord and be with the Lord and see who he, his glory. You know, you understand? Forever and ever and ever. It says this that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. It's amazing on this prayer about all future believers, the Lord's final request. He says, "I want everybody that's mine, I want them all with me. I want him with me forever and ever and ever. You know, I mean, you know what? Would you like to be with me forever and ever and ever? Hello? No more than I want to be with you? No. You know I'm teasing you. Jesus says, all those liars that I saved, all those drunks that I saved, all those that hated me, rejected me, all those that took my name in vain, now that they're washed, now that they're cleansed, I want them to be with me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'll tell you something, when I think of that, and I say, oh Lord, there's no one like our God. There's no one like our Savior. You see, heaven is a real place, and we are really going to go there one day, and we are really going to be with the Lord wherever heaven is, forever and ever and ever and ever. And I could keep going and keep going with that word, but fact is, eternity is something we just can't comprehend. Eternity, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has always been. And he says, you know what? Oh, the things that I'm going to show you, the things that await in heaven for us. And he says, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known you that sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me, watch this now, the love with which you have loved me may be where? Do you believe that?
Yes.
That God says that our love may be in us, in them. And he goes and he says, and I in them. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:5 that this hope does not disappoint. It says that the love of God, the agape of God, has been poured out into our heart or shed abroad in our heart by the holy inner woman that has been given unto us. It really is there. It's in our inner man, inner woman, amen? But it's made to be let out. That's why we need to love one another. So Jesus, he closes and he says, oh, listen, my love now is to be their love. That's my prayer. So this oneness that we have, this incredible unity that we proclaim, I look at that tonight and I say, oh, Lord, are we truly one light? Are we truly one salt? Are we truly that one city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden? Are we really that one bride and the only bride of Christ? Are we really, Lord, that one temple and all of us really only share and have one life? And that is the life of Christ Jesus. Amen. All living in our hearts. Tonight is all about reclaiming community through communion and proclaiming the unity that we have with the Lord and with each other. Tonight, as we begin to go ahead, gentlemen, let's pass out communion. You know, tonight, let's not, as we fellowship, let's be intimate with our Lord. He knows you. He's right here with us. He knows everything that we're doing. And we need to remember him that, listen, we have the great high priest that we have. He is alive. Amen? He's alive. He's right here in our midst, and he is a merciful and he is a faithful high priest. Now, let me turn. You won't be able to turn, but you'll be able to hold your cup and the bread tonight. But I want to just read to you and share with you a few verses before we partake of communion. And the first thing we're going to do, we're going to look back as we always do. Paul writes to us and he says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So Paul says, I had a personal revelation directly from the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke the bread, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, when Jesus, there in the upper room in John 13, when that occurred, you know, and he broke the bread, He looked into the disciples' eyes and he said this, "Don't ever forget me." That's what it literally means when he says, "Remember me." He says, "Don't ever, ever forget me. Don't ever do that." You know, it seems today that we're so busy, we forget the things of God, don't we? We forget that the Lord is with us every second. And because then when trouble arises, we say, "God, where are you?" Well, he's right there with you right now. Amen? He says, "I want you to remember that. I want you to remember my death. I want you to remember that all that my death means to you, that Jesus tonight, as we look back, that Jesus took our place." Amen? He was our substitute. He literally died our death, and he bore our sin. There in the Bible in 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, "Who himself bore our sins and in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." When it says there in Peter that he bore our sins, that word literally is a picture of a priest taking and laying the sins upon himself, the sins of the whole world. And that's exactly what our Lord did. It says, "And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it.'" And here it is again. "I want you to do it in remembrance of me. I want you to remember that I died for you. I want you to remember all that the blood means." The Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." And as it says in Peter, that we were redeemed not with, you know, corruptible things like silver and gold, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts that God purchased the church with his own blood. He bought us. He redeemed us, translated us, removed us from the kingdom of darkness. Amen? We belong to him now. We're marked people, marked by God, because we're sealed with the Spirit, a permanent thing, a permanent person that'll never leave us and never forsake us. I look and I say, "Oh, Lord, you're so good." Tonight, as we reclaim community and as we proclaim our unity through communion, don't ever forget, as it says in the Word of God, that we have been justified, declared innocent by the precious blood of Jesus. Justified, just as if we had never sinned. Oh, yes, I know that's our position. Unfortunately, we do sin, but we can run to the Lord. Justified. That is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. Knowing that my sin, your sin, loved one, has truly been paid for. Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now, right now and forever, no judgment, no condemnation in Christ who are in Christ Jesus." And when you're in Christ Jesus, in him, that means all that he is, you possess. You have right now, if you are a believer, you have been imputed to you that incredible, spotless, perfect, sinless record that Jesus has and will always have. And I look and I say, "Oh God, you are so good." That's why, you know, we look back and now we look ahead, where he says in his word, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now listen, Jesus is coming. The rapture could happen today. It could happen right now. Praise the Lord. Instant, in the twinkling of an eye, gone, forever with the Lord. No funeral for us, no casket for us. Home, home at last. That means that this table is temporary. It's temporary, loved one. We do this because we tell the world. Why do we hold the cup? Why do we partake of the bread? Because we're telling the world, listen, our Savior is coming again. Our Savior, he's coming back for us. He's gone away to build a place for us. But man, I tell you, it must be great because he's been gone a long time. And he's going to come back and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. And we will be there forever. We'll see our loved ones. We'll see our old friends that are saved. Oh, I tell you, that blesses my socks off. But then we have to do something else tonight. You see, we look back, then we look ahead. But right now, before you partake, God says, I want you to do something. I want you to look deep inside your own heart. Because this is not a religious observation or a ritual. This is a divine moment where the head of the church celebrates with his body. That intimacy, that koinonia, that deep, beautiful, perfect fellowship of the Spirit. It's real. It's not religion. And so Jesus says, he said, listen, for as often, again, until he comes, he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man, let a woman, let every believer, because communion is only for those who are saved, only for the Christian. It says, but let that person examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I want you to listen to me now before we partake tonight. When you study out the Lord's Supper, you've heard, like I've taught over the years, to know the text, read the context. The whole Lord's Supper, the reason Paul is talking to them, if we keep it in context now, he was talking to a church at Corinth, a carnal church. Man, they were into every kind of sin imaginable. But their worst sin was that of discord and division. And Paul says, man, listen, we're the body. Don't chop it to pieces. Did you know that to sin against a brother or a sister, do you know how serious that is? And today, I see people do it with such ease, with no guilt, no shame. And you know what happens when they don't realize how serious it is to sin against a believer that I am in oneness with? To sin against that is to sin against Jesus. And to make ourselves guilty of the blood and the body of our Savior. That is a bad place to be. Some people may need a new beginning in that area. If that's you, I pray that you would say, man, you know what? I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to get right with God and so forth. So, Lord, tonight, as we hold the bread and we hold the cup, oh God, in our hand, we celebrate our oneness. We celebrate and proclaim our unity. Oh God, thank you for the fellowship right this minute. As we hold the precious bread, this cup, these symbols of what you have done for us, oh God. Oh Lord, thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for taking our place. Thank you for dying our death. Thank you for taking our punishment, our shame, our guilt. Thank you for taking and paying our sin debt. Thank you for giving us, imputing to us your perfect righteousness. Thank you that we have a glorious, incredible position in Christ. That when you see us, because of the cup, because of the bread, you see us as your own son Father, thank you for taking the likes of us and adopting us, giving us your divine nature and the precious word of God, and leading us and guiding us by your incredible grace. Tonight, oh Lord, we celebrate oneness. Thank you for being with us as we partake of the bread. In Jesus' name, partake. Faithful high priest, loving high priest. Oh Lord, thank you. You who can do anything. You who have all power and authority in heaven and all of the earth. I thank you for looking out tonight upon your sheep. Those wounds that need to be healed. Tongues that need to be tamed. Hearts that need to be repurified. Addictions that need to be broken. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're here, walking among your sheep. Touch them now. Touch them. And thank you for the cup. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us partake in Jesus' name. Here's what we're going to do. Now listen carefully as we stand together. In a moment, when we dismiss, when Kevin dismisses us, now there are going to be some of you say, Bill, I just need someone to pray for me tonight. And the altar will be open and will be people here to pray with you. And some of you say, well, I'm doing great. And I'm going to say, okay, here's what I'd like for you to do. First of all, once you're dismissed, if you don't want prayer, don't need prayer. Parents, you have to go retrieve your children before you go to the cafe. Okay? Please do. And then go to the cafe. And then if you don't have children, then you can go to everybody can go there to the cafe as well. As you already know, the food is free tonight. We do that when we do communion, now that our cafe's open again. But here's what I would ask you to do. Would you not make it a loud affair? Even though we celebrate the Lord's table, but would you reach out to someone that you don't know, that you've never met? Don't make it clicky back there, you know, where I'm going to hang out with just these people. No, get to know other people. And then pray. We one for another. Sit down at the table with someone you don't know and just pray one for another. We need to pray one for another. Amen? We need that desperately. And that way you get to, you know, learn and so forth. And know, find out who is here. Is that okay? Lord, bless the food back there because it's really good. In Jesus' name, I love you dearly. Let's sing.